So here I am in the sparrow's nest, which is, how would you describe it? Is it an anarchist library? Is that what
Yeah,
the
it's
idea is?
well, the Sparrow's Nest is in it's we're calling it a centre for anarchist education and culture, and it exists in a private house, but it's activities that go on within a house, and the heart of it is the library and archive.
And you're not sort of ready for open for business if you like yet, but will that be happening soon?
Yes, we've got quite a good collection of books and articles, and we've been thinking about how to make them easily accessible to people so they can work out what's there and come and browse and look at them. And we're going to be open to the public on Tuesday afternoons, fairly soon, probably straight after Christmas. But in the immediate term, we're pretty much ready to go in terms of people sort of in the activist movement and the labour movement and so forth coming and having a look at what we've got. And so we're gonna open have our first sort of event on the Sunday the 7th of December, which is a sort of open afternoon and early evening for people to really just come and browse and see what kind of thing we've got. And people might have stuff that they can give us as well, that they'd like other people to be able to see, so we can kind of be custodians of their collections if they want to let us have them, and come and browse stuff to do with anarchism in Nottingham, anarchism generally, worker struggles and so forth in the East Midlands and South Yorkshire, because obviously there's quite a sort of heritage there of struggle. And so we're hoping that anyone that's kind of remotely interested in alternative stuff that's happened in the region or in anarchism more widely will find stuff of interest down here.
So it's sort of there's an element of local history as well as general anarchist theory then.
I think the history angle of it is quite important, because actually the whole project, we first started thinking about setting up an anarchist library when we realised that a lot of people who had collections of papers and pamphlets and so forth, campaigning materials going back, well, some people even into the 60s and 70s, but there was an awful lot of stuff produced in the 80s and early 90s. And this was kind of sitting around in people's attics, and loads of people were saying, oh, I'm never going to read this again. I don't know what to do with it. And people were beginning to throw them out, and we were beginning to throw stuff out. And whereas now, there's obviously, more being kind of written and published than ever in electronic media, there was a fair amount of stuff that was published in paper media which just isn't available to people. So it seems a shame not to have this stuff out. So we did have the idea originally of getting books that would be, relevant historically and currently, but also getting together an archive of materials that have been produced by the movement over the past few decades. So the history side of it is, yeah, that's quite important. And obviously at the same time, I mean, there was a very close interrelationship between anarchist stuff and workers' struggles, particularly strikes, because in the 80s there was just wave after wave of really big strikes. So stuff that's produced by in the workers' movement and in the anarchist movement really intersects, and there's huge amounts of commentary in anarchist literature about industrial struggles, but also social struggles that were going on. And so it's a really, really important resource, I think, for anybody studying or interested in struggle more generally. And what we're doing is I mean, obviously there's so much stuff, that has been published about workers' struggles nationally, but we're doing a sort of local history angle on that, about struggles in South Yorkshire and East Midlands, partly for practical reasons, but also because that's going to be most relevant and interesting to people that live in the area, probably.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I mean, it's really important to look at these historical pamphlets and things. It's interesting. I've just been shown around some of the pamphlets and books here and picked up something that's got from 15 years ago with issues that are just relevant today, like green anarchists being smeared as eco-terrorists, something that's come up recently with the Observer article, and it's just really, really bringing home the point that you can learn a lot in present struggles from the past.
Mm.
What were your sort of ideas and inspirations for setting up Sparrow's Nest?
Well, as I say, we'd been thinking along the lines of a library and archive for a while anyway. Then we kind of realised that there were a lot more models for this kind of thing on the continent and in South America than there actually are in the UK. There have been one or two libraries. The Kate Sharpley Library in London is now just a virtual library, really, but there did used to be a library people could go into. But the materials are no longer in the country, although their online stuff is really good. And in the past, you know, there were people that had collections that people used to come from other parts of the country to use. But the idea of having somewhere that was public or semi-public, depending on, you know, when people have got time to staff it, was a more recent idea, really. And partly came about because we'd done a little bit of travelling in Europe and meeting various anarchists there, and we went to a really interesting project in Ljubljana, which is called an info shop based in a large, well-established squatted community there. And they, you know, they collect materials that are relevant to anarchists and relevant to particularly anarchists and particularly people doing work around asylum in Slovenia and in the Balkans generally, and they had a, you know, really, really good outlook. They were really trying to be outward focused, not just sort of within the movement, but they were maybe a little bit stuck because they were in a squat, so the whole place was automatically kind of alternative. So I think, you know, from fairly early on we thought we didn't want it to be necessarily part of an alternative project. It should be maybe something that's more you know, that, well, the idea of, you know, having it in a house, the idea of that came about more recently, but it did seem like you know, a way that could be fairly accessible to people. And then we were in Carrara at the 20th anniversary congress of the International of Anarchist Federations, and that the Anarchist Federation belongs to, and there were people from all over the world who were talking about projects they were involved with. In France and in Spain there were alternative schools, and there were various educational projects going on in South America that anarchists are very heavily involved with and initiating, and it's very, you know, it was really interesting what they were talking about. It wasn't just that you kind of fill a social need by having something like a homework group or a reading group or a literacy group. The idea is sort of linked to the idea that if people are literate and educated, they can make better decisions. If they can read, they can learn about the history of struggle in their country, not just, you know, government propaganda and so forth. So the idea of making anarchist ideas available to people in print seemed, you know, quite important and relevant, and so we were quite inspired by that, really. But one thing we did really learn from both Ljubljana and both from talking to people about other kinds of similar projects was that having a stable building, that was central. I mean, the info shop project couldn't have worked if the squat was in jeopardy at all. It's not something you can move around. The libraries and print shops and homework groups and things were in buildings that are, you know, that anarchists have held in various ways on a, you know, as a semi-permanent thing. And so it did seem to be, you know, the idea of having a base that was fixed, so people know if they turn up, you know, it's going to be there. That did seem to be something that seemed quite centrally important to those projects, that you have a kind of physical base in the community that you're trying to work within.
Great. And you know, what kind of people are you hoping will use the centre? Are you going to do some local outreach, or is it more focused at existing sort of activists and anarchists in the area?
Right. We definitely want it to be something that the public can access, because, you know, I mean, one of the major kind of reasons for doing it is that we want to inform and educate people about anarchism and what it is and how relevant it can be to people in their own lives, and either to people who don't really know what anarchists are or people who think they know what they are and have a negative idea. in the short term, what we're really trying to do is to kind of build up a sort of base of support, perhaps in the activist anarchist movement, labour movement, so people know that we're here and what we're doing. Because the kind of going public thing is a little bit scary because you don't really know what's going to happen. Although the most scary thing is that no one will be interested and no one will turn up. But we hope that they will. So this
sure they will.
But we have, I've very very much got in mind a kind of person, and it's the kind of person that you see in public libraries, and because there are loads and loads of people who are people of all sorts of different ages who, they think about ideas, they're very interested in ideas, and you meet people that like this sometimes in pubs as well, really interested in ideas and talking about what people have got to say and interesting different ways of looking at the world, but are completely failed by the school system, never encounter interesting ideas at all in the school system, leave school with own, not necessarily a particularly good level of literacy. If they have got a good level of literacy, it's often because they're partly self-taught and they've been, motivated themselves. But there are people who, maybe they don't come into contact with radical ideas because they're maybe, they've not got access to the materials that we think are interesting. So, these kind of autodidact people, they exist and are hungry for ideas and might be very hostile. They might kind of think that the ideas are completely crazy. But we would rather, have somebody who wants to read about independent ideas and non-mainstream ideas, read them and really fundamentally disagree with us. We'd rather do that than everybody just kind of go along thinking that anarchism, it's a bit utopian, nice idea, but it could never work. We would really like to engage with people at a much more serious level.
I must admit I haven't had a in-depth look yet at the materials you've got here, but there's from quite a broad range of perspectives as well, so it's not like one particular strand of thought. There's quite a range of different ideas available to people here, so that they can come and be exposed to a range of ideas and make their own minds up.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, we're the people who are on the collective of the place are mainly people in the Anarchist Federation and a couple of other class struggle anarchists who are not in the Anarchist Federation. And we're coming from a very specific viewpoint. There's most of the stuff in this library, I would tell you, I agree with it in this way, I disagree with it in another way. But definitely, our priority is that people encounter anarchist ideas more broadly. People have to make up their own mind beyond that, about what they think about what the priority ought to be and so forth for anarchists. But we want pretty much the whole movement to be represented. We're not 100% sure about some kind of primitivist stuff. I think we're very hostile to it ideologically, and so we're gonna look at stuff and say, if it doesn't contradict with what we think anarchism is. But I think pretty much anything else that calls itself anarchist, we've got, and also left communist as well. The anti-authoritarian communist tradition in Europe is very very influential on anarchism in a lot of ways, and particularly specifically in the 80s and early 90s on when the anarchist movement in Britain became much more class struggle focused. It was very, very influenced by the European left communist movement. And so we've got a fair amount of that stuff. Some of it's pretty dense and really tired reading because it kind of, a lot of those people have come out of the Trotskyist movement and not they've got good politics, but they've not necessarily learned to write in the creative way that anarchists have. But nonetheless, there's some good stuff there.
Yeah, so, and maybe you could explain what the name is as well, actually, because some people might not get the reference.
Right. The Sparrow's Nest is kind of, it is puerile. I mean, there is that element of anarchism, which is an infantile disorder, definitely. It's just a really nasty pun on the Nottingham Arrow, because we just became really sick by this big promotional campaign that the council was doing when it rebranded itself as proud and clean and ambitious and safe was the other one. We just
felt great expense.
Great expense, yeah. This kind of sort of veneer of everything being okay. We've spent lots of money on a logo, and so everything's okay. So we were sort of fairly fed up with the council for that, and also the sort of threat back to local amenities that were that arose around the same time, like swimming pool closures and so forth. So the Nottingham Sparrow was a paper that we did a couple of issues of, and so it's a pun on the Nottingham Arrow, but also it's because you know, the sparrow is kind of in some ways a symbol of what might be wrong with cities, which is that something so commonplace and ordinary and so much a part of city life was suddenly disappearing and becoming extinct, and everybody knew that it must be something to do with modern living or modern city development that is driving this sort of everyday bird out of extinction or to extinction or something. Nobody was able to put their finger on what it really was, but everyone had a kind of gut feeling that there was something wrong.
Kind of an ecological dimension,
kind of,
as well.
And also, you know, the sparrow being kind of an endangered person in the city, you know, the idea that in the city you can just disappear and nobody notices something's happened to you. So it's kind of puerile, but it's a metaphor that we liked, and we kind of stuck with it, really. And then we liked the idea of keeping the name for the place, because sparrows kind of they kind of live collectively, they kind of live communally in nests that are really close together, so they're very social creatures as well as, you know, being individuals, so, you know, they very much congregate together, and we kind of identified with that a little bit too.
So the sparrow's nest is a good metaphor, then.
We think so.
and you know, it seems like a great location as well, because obviously I'm sure you'll know about the Chase Centre. We're here in St Anne's, and the Chase Centre is not too far away. The Chase Centre is a council run community centre, which is I believe it's council run anyway. And they were recently under threat, lots of job losses there. Obviously, you know, that's a centre that's being neglected, and local people probably are being neglected by the council similarly. So it's great that there are genuine community projects going on here. How do you feel about the location? Is that something that's been important?
Yeah, very much so. We wanted to be in a city area. We wanted to be not the Forest Fields end of town, because there's no point overlapping with the community that the CMAC Centre's placed in, because you know, there's so many really good projects going on there, but over this end of town there was a lot of people lived up here with good ideas, and there's a lot of asylum seekers up here, and there is, you know, in St Anne's there is it's very, you know, commonplace for to have community projects, and some, you know, some quite bizarre ones. There's a lot, you know, there's lots of volunteering people doing things voluntarily here, and the Chase Community Centre, I mean, I don't know huge amounts about what's happening there, but I do know that a lot of the people who were employed there are now working there voluntarily to keep some of those really important projects going, and the advice centre and so forth. So clearly the idea of a kind of voluntarist sort of community has resonance around here, and we are, you know, we deliberately chose the place because we are near to the community centre and to the shops and to the post office, and you know, we hope that, well, our kind of ideal is really that maybe, you know, on a market day people will, you know, they'll go to the shops and go to the sort of slightly sad little market down there, and maybe go to the community centre and have their lunch, and then maybe come here and read some books. That would be fantastic to, you know, to be seen as part of that, the sort of hub of the community there, if a slightly eccentric, bizarre kind of end of that.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe anarchism will become mainstream in St Anne's now as a result. Is there anything else that needs to be said, I guess? I think you've talked quite comprehensively about what's going on here.
I could tell you about the Coroperty project, which is possibly one of the more bizarre anarchist projects. I think I can probably safely say it's the first anarchist foot care project in the world. That's probably a fairly safe claim.
We need more of them, though.
Absolutely. this came about because, well, actually, it was one of the things a comrade who recently joined the Anarchist Federation, we talked to her, and one of her motivations for becoming an anarchist was that she was, you know, completely sick about the sort of failure of municipal healthcare, if you like, in that that, you know, she does, she's employed by the NHS to look after people, people's feet. And basically, the NHS is only able locally to do the feet of people who are already sort of, you know, almost, you know, their feet are so bad that they can't leave their house, or homeless people who obviously, you know, really need that kind of attention. But there are a lot of people with very, very, very serious problems who are becoming, you know, kind of immobilised because of this. And but they can't have their feet looked after until, you know, until they're even worse than they already are. So there's a big gap there. You know, there's a lot of people who really need that to be able to get out to the shops and come and use the library or the community centre or anything. And so we thought that, that, you know, this would be a really interesting way of getting across to people the idea of volunteerism, because I think, you know, when we leaflet and say, you know, that there's this free voluntary service, you know, and we'll say, you know, it's something done by anarchists, because part of what we do is to, you know, bypass the state when, you know, we all have to kind of help each other out. And and yes, you know, you might be having your feet done for free, but there's probably something you can do for somebody else for free. So, you know, to try and engage people in this idea that, you know, yes, you know, while it's really important that state facilities are funded and we have to really fight, you know, sort of cuts in the NHS and so forth, at the same time, you know, we can be, you know, be doing things to help each other, really, and not because we want to sign people up to the Jesus Army or anything. You know, they don't have to become an anarchist to come and have their feet done twice.
So it's definitely anarchy in action as well as in theory.
We hope so, yes, yeah. But I mean, that's very much just part of a really big ethos that seems to be really taking off in Nottingham. I mean, it's a tiny aspect of it, and I think we might be, you know, a slightly more sort of class focused or community service kind of focused end of that possibly, but I mean the informal economy in Nottingham, in terms of people doing things to help each other out and helping each other get by and spreading skills and so forth is just thriving at the moment. There's so many people interested in those ideas, but I think we've probably got the only anarchist chiropodist.
So there we have it. You know, if you've got feet problems you need attending to, come to the Sparrow's Nest. Well, thanks very much for talking to me.
That's a pleasure.
We can hope it all goes really well.
Thank you.